zoning changes are not transferable or grandfathered in, meaning if zoning is approved and Beth Breakaway's sold home in 5 years, they could not sell as a nightly rental. The new owners would have to apply, as zoning would default back to the original A1, end quote. My response to the first comment is simply that this neighborhood was here when the Joneses bought their house, and it's my understanding that the location affected the price of the house at that time as well. So now they want to make the most money they can on the sale of their house by selling it as a business. Can't blame them for that. And quite frankly, one of the reasons that I'm here is to try to maintain the value of my home. A little more on that. The second quote turned into a complete bait and switch. Once we got to the first P&Z meeting, we found out that the application was for a permanent zoning change. As you know, this was unanimously denied by both P&Z and the County Commission. So here we are again, trying to get this pushed through from a different angle. And if they're told no tonight, we've already been warned that they will not stop here, as they have already filed, I'm not even sure what it's going to be called, but a conditional appeal. And my question on that is, if they're given a yes, do I get to appeal, and how many times? So back to maintaining my property value. There are so many problems here, I don't even know where to start, so I'm going to jump in. It's my belief that the conditional use permit changes nothing. We'll still have increased traffic on a road that was not built for it. Mr. Jones has stated that he's had events at his house with lots of people and there have been no complaints. My response to that is, how does he know? Just because he's not aware of complaints doesn't mean it's not a problem. One gentleman in our neighborhood told me he's been sideswiped twice on that road, and I can personally tell you I've used my horn a number of times due to people crossing over the double yellow line. To whom am I supposed to complain? A couple of events a year is not the same as a full-time business running 24/7, 365 days a year, which leads me to my next concern. We live in a quiet bedroom community tucked away from the nightly rentals and Branson traffic, which is precisely why I live here. What is being proposed is a revolving door of strangers into our community. It completely changes the dynamics. We have a tight-knit community here. Mr. Jones has stated that he has friends in our neighborhood. That goes away when that house is a nightly rental. We have at least 3 school bus stops on Fruit Farm Road. I'm not trying to be overdramatic here. I have an autistic son, and we have thwarted not one but 2 human trafficking attempts on him. I had a teenage cousin that disappeared from a gas station and was never seen again. This is a very real concern. It's important to know your neighbors. Next, I understand that I shouldn't be concerned because this will be a high-end nightly rental. A couple of things on that. One, the assumption is that rich people don't break the law. I once served on a jury for a DUI case. The defendant was a rich doctor driving a Porsche. I lived in an affluent community, and the biggest problem in the high school was heroin. And 2,
ma'am, your time, if I can get you to summarize your time is up.
Just so because it starts out as a nightly rental or high-end doesn't mean it's going to stay that way. And I think we're starting down a slippery slope. The arguments are that the Joneses are going to make more money, and Ms. Hammond is nice and runs a good business. But what about our traffic concerns and the slippery slope that we're starting down? If this goes through and I'm wrong, then they make a lot of money. And if I'm right, then my property values, the property values of my community goes down. And I hope you're not willing to take that gamble.
Thank you
for the opportunity to speak to you all again. I just made some pictures. I'd ask for you to look at these. For those of you that may have not been down Fruit Farm Road for a while, maybe you're not familiar with Fruit Farm Road. Hopefully everybody is.
And your name, sir?
It's Jerry Neals. I live at 151 Ashford Drive in Fruit Farm Estates. Thank you. Two other concerns. Number one is Fruit Farm Road is not designed for business. Diane already mentioned about, you know, just the normal people that live out there that are familiar with this road, especially at night. It's not lit at all. There's been several near misses, several accidents on that road from people riding the yellow line going out because it's double yellow all the way out to the outer road and curvy. And our concern is you put strange people out there they're not even familiar with this road going to and from weddings and celebrations and stuff over at Big Cedar, and people are going to drink and they're going to be coming in and out. And Fruit Farm Road is not designed to handle that kind of traffic. The other issue is precedent. It's been mentioned about the NRR 1 that's already been approved out at the end of Fruit Farm Road as being a precedent, and the indication that I got was that was somewhat of a reason why this should be approved as a nightly rental. That's the whole point that we're concerned about is precedent, is that as soon as this gets approved, now we're adding to that precedent of nightly rental popping up and down Fruit Farm Road. If this is approved and somebody buys the 6 acres that's for sale just outside of our subdivision, they'll be back in here. They could be back in here wanting to do the same thing. And now we've opened the can of worms. I have a question. I know this is a conditional use permit, but what are the conditions? I don't understand. I mean, can somebody explain the conditions of the conditional use permit?
Well, the requirements would be on that one slide of what the applicant would be required to
what they're asking meet. For as far as they meet our regulations, yes. And then the board also has the ability to put regulations on that.
So are there regulations that are going to be on that already if this is approved, or do they come later? Or? I'm not understanding how this is any different than what we've already been through.
Conditional use permits is a separate type permit that goes away when the change is ownership. So conditional use permits have the ability to add buffering, limit the number of, you can put all kinds of conditions to make it not, you know, affect the neighborhood as much per location. But the conditional use or special use in any county is a permit only for that person could have conditions to make it not as impactful.
And I do appreciate that, sir. So who monitors this if it's not being complied with once it's issued?
As far as
who monitors that the conditions are being met?
Well, we do it in the office.
Okay.
I mean, we don't drive out and just check it, but when we get calls, we've got a number of them. Very busy with them.
So as I mentioned, I am concerned about precedent and opening the proverbial can of worms here for other nightly rentals out in this area. I would ask the Planning and Zoning Commission respectively, I am aware I became aware of the almost identical situation that you all just went through 3 years ago on a property up on Highway 265. It was the same thing where there was a log cabin up there that they applied for a zoning change. It was denied, and then the commission sent them back to the P&Z with an application, I guess, for a conditional use permit. And apparently that was approved. And that's in existence today. I would like to point out that Fruit Farm Road is not Highway 265. That's a state highway with improved shoulders, and that's not Fruit Farm Road. I just wanted to ask you to consider that and not just fall back into we've got precedence for an approval from another property that's almost identical to this, because it's not identical. If you would please take that into consideration. And in addition, with that other property, and this is just me looking at the assessor's map, that was a 3-acre plot originally, at least that's what's on the map, and I did see on the map that there's an additional 12 acres that was approved next to that is in RR1. So again, my concern is if we approve this, what's going to start attaching to it all up and down this whole area, and then the entire area starts to change. So we are very concerned about it. We do appreciate you all listening to us. I know the Joneses are wanting to maximize their investment in their house. I would do the same thing. I don't fault them at all for what they're trying to do. But I don't think it's fair to the rest of us that, that we should have to look at the potential of our properties dropping in value so that a neighbor can maximize his value. That just doesn't seem fair. He did approach us with several reasons.
Sir, you passed your time as well. Can you summarize and finish?
I would just like to appeal or ask the planning and zoning to continue the denial of this permit.
All right. Appreciate
Thank
that.
You.
Thank you.
Tim Davis, Box 1625, Branson, Missouri. I've worked with Beth Hammond for many years because a lot of my clients own nightly rentals, and Beth happens to manage several of them in addition to her own. And as testimony came in earlier in this proceeding, Beth does a great job. She's just a pro. And we know this is going to be a good product for the area. In terms of also, I'm not sure that it was brought up clearly during the hearing, but the administrative decision to grant or not grant a conditional use permit is not the same thing as an exercise of the discretion that we would see in, say, a legislative zoning change. So when the county commission votes to change the zoning on a project, they've got legislative discretion to make that zoning change and basically do whatever they want. When it comes to conditional use permits, the question before the board is, has the applicant met the conditions? Or if we set out the conditions, will they meet the conditions, yes or no? And so we know Beth has five houses that she owns personally, operating as nightly rentals. We know she's following all the rules on all the houses because, as Scott knows, he hasn't been forced to bring any enforcement action against Beth because she was breaking the rules. She's going out of her way to make sure she's following all the rules. And so when it comes to the administrative decision on have the conditions been met, I propose you, my request is to think about how we make that decision and say, here's a person who follows all the rules on their other properties, and all they have to do to get the permit here is follow all the rules on this property. And we have every reason to believe that she will. So thanks for listening to me, guys. Good to see you.
You're welcome. Anyone else back on the back side? Is that everyone? Is the applicant want to come back up? Beth?
Yeah, no, you've got her hand up.
She's already
spoken. She's already spoken.
You've already spoke, so do you have a question or you want to speak again? Or
speak again.
Yeah, you've already had your over 4 minutes of time to speak.
Can I say one other thing as an applicant?
Well, you're that. We need an applicant to come back up. So between the two of you, whoever Beth.
Whatever you want.
Yeah, we both.
I think before you two speak, I just, you know, again to the Planning Commission, we've got the sheet that Cody's put before us that. There's eight items that are standards and concerns that should be reviewed and considered to approve or not approve a conditional use permit. So now might be a good time to pull that out and just start taking a peek at that. Go ahead.
You have. I just wanted the comment about running a business 24/7. I just want to highlight I run a business out of there 24/7. I'm a small business owner, so I use my place for housing employees. Staging all my supplies for Big Cedar. I run 13 locations at Big Cedar every day. So this just isn't a thing that is once a month, once a year type deal. So I have employees coming and going. I use my garage for storage. And just yesterday alone, I had seven meetings. Three of those meetings was people out of town using the roads that they didn't. So I'm not here trying to animosity with people's feelings and emotions. I'm not trying to do that. I'm just sharing the facts that 30 rentals a year, roughly, on average, is my demands in 2 weeks, what that is. So that's all that I want to share. And I know people think I'm maximizing my profits by selling the house, selling nightly rental. Nightly rental people get deals. No offense, Beth, but they get deals. I'm selling my property to pay from legal fees from a shooting that happened at a restaurant in 2021. Trying to get the most I can. I'm not getting what I'm asking for it, and I'm just being honest with you guys. So I just want to just clear the air and just talk facts.
So do we have any questions for comments for the applicants now that we have them before us after hearing all that? Or any discussion of the eight items to consider approving or not approving the application? Feedback.
The number four on our worksheet here, that's
yeah, number four is the proposed use is compatible with adjacent uses in terms of scale, site design, operating characteristics, including but not limited to hours of operations, traffic generation, light, noise, odor, due to use and other external impacts.